Welcome to Breaking News to Trading Moves. We're looking at some recent U.S. government actions today, specifically around trade duties. And these actions, well, they could really change how certain medical devices and industrial equipment get sourced and made for the U.S. market. This is something anyone tracking, you know, capital planning or supply chains and healthcare and manufacturing probably needs to pay attention to. So today we're translating this policy action into what it means for the market. We want to identify who might gain an edge and who might face some new financial hurdles.
That's right. The core of it is the U.S. kicking off these tariff probes under what's called Section 232. And this isn't just some minor review. It targets three pretty big categories: medtech, robotics, and complex industrial machinery.
Yeah.
The potential result here, we could see much higher duties, you know, tariffs on a whole range of imported goods. We're talking everyday stuff like PPE, syringes, IV kits, but also more expensive things like medical imaging gear and, you know, those specialized machine tools used in factories.
So the mission for you, the listener, is to understand where value might be moving here. What seems clear is a push favoring U.S.-based supply chains. And that tends to raise costs for companies relying heavily on imports to serve, well, American consumers and the healthcare system. It really draws a line, doesn't it, between companies with domestic capacity and those tied more to global production flows.
It absolutely does.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics.
Right, let's start with the mechanism itself. These probes, as I mentioned, they fall under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962. Now, this section, historically, it's been the way the government investigates if imports of certain products might pose a threat to national security. Usually saw it applied to things like steel, aluminum, you know, heavy commodities. The argument there was pretty straightforward. The country needs to be able to make these things for defense purposes. What's kind of notable now is applying the same logic to high-tech areas.
Yeah.
Like medtech and robotics.
Yeah, that's the jump, isn't it? How do IV pumps or laser cutters suddenly become national security items?
Well, it's framed in a couple of ways. For medtech, it seems to be about resilience, preparedness. Think pandemic readiness. If the U.S. depends on other countries for essential stuff, masks, maybe certain drugs, even complex equipment like ventilators, another global crisis could be, well, problematic. So securing that domestic supply chain for healthcare basics is being framed as a part of national defense readiness now.
Okay, that clarifies the link for medical supplies. What about the industrial machinery and robotics side? How does that fit the national security angle?
That seems to lean more towards industrial self-sufficiency and, you know, maintaining a technological edge. Robotics, advanced machine tools, automated systems, these are the things you need to make other things, including defense hardware and advanced commercial tech. So the thinking appears to be, if the U.S. can't make the tools that make the tools, then the whole domestic manufacturing base could weaken over time. And that's positioned as a long-term national security concern.
Got it. So if the Section 232 investigations find a threat, the government can put duties in place. What's the immediate practical economic effect of that for the listener?
It's pretty direct. The cost of imported goods goes up. The duties are basically an extra tax added at the border. So that tax increases the item's final price when it lands in the U.S. Let's say a German-made stamping machine suddenly costs 15% more just to import it. Well, right away, the American-made alternative looks a lot more attractive financially to U.S. buyers. The whole idea is to make buying domestic the cheaper or more stable economic choice. And it covers goods across some really key industries.
Okay, let's break down the specific sectors getting the scrutiny. You mentioned two main ones. First up is medical technology. And as you said, this is quite broad. It goes from, you know, everyday imported items like PPE gloves, masks, and basic consumables, things like syringes, IV bags, basic infusion stuff. But it doesn't stop there, right? It also includes complex, expensive equipment, things like advanced imaging machines, specialized monitors, surgical pumps, stuff you find in critical care. Basically, if it's used in healthcare, it seems like it could be on this list.
That seems to be the scope, yes. Pretty wide-ranging.
And the second category, industrial machinery and robotics. This is really the nuts and bolts of modern manufacturing. We're talking about advanced tools for factory upgrades, for automation, high-precision equipment that's, you know, the backbone of industry, industrial robots for assembly lines, big stamping and pressing machines for metal parts, specialized tools like laser cutters or water jet cutters. So any company looking to build or upgrade a factory, whether it's making cars or medical implants, they're likely using equipment that falls under this umbrella.
Exactly. The foundational tools of production.
Okay, so with that policy context, the market reaction starts to become clearer. These tariffs, they effectively incentivize localization.
Precisely. And we've identified three broad categories of companies that seem positioned to benefit because they already have a strong U.S. manufacturing presence.
Right, let's walk through those. First category, the U.S. PPE and IV supply chain. So the advantage here seems pretty direct. Domestic makers of these essential medical consumables get a boost because tariffs on the imported versions make their own products more competitive on price. If imported IV bags cost, say, 10% more overnight, hospital buyers are probably going to look harder at the U.S.-made option. This could mean better pricing power for domestic firms and maybe higher sales volumes, too.
Yeah, it's a classic supply dynamic. When the cost of imports jumps, buyers, hospitals, group purchasing organizations, distributors, they have to look for alternatives.
Yeah.
For U.S. producers in this space, their existing factories, maybe they weren't even running at full capacity before, suddenly become much more valuable. That cost difference forces a change in purchasing decisions, favoring U.S. production.
Okay, let's name some names. How about MMM 3M? They're a huge U.S. manufacturer.
Right, MMM is a good example. Their benefit likely comes through their healthcare division, especially things like masks and respirators, key PPE items. Unlike some competitors who might rely heavily on overseas manufacturing, 3M has kept significant domestic capacity for these products. So duties on imported PPE give their U.S.-made N95s and surgical supplies a pricing advantage. This could potentially help them gain market share in U.S. contracts.
Makes sense. Then there's OMI, Owens, and Miner.
OMI is interesting because they do both manufacturing and distribution. But their benefit here is likely tied to their U.S. production of things like custom surgical kits and some PPE. So they potentially win twice. They can supply their own network with U.S.-made goods that avoid the tariff, and they might pick up business from competitors who only import those items. Mm-hmm. You could see some margin improvement for them, particularly on the goods they make themselves.
And the third one in this category, ICUI, ICU Medical, they focus on infusion therapy.
Yes, ICUI could benefit from the focus on IV systems and components. They've invested in U.S. facilities for key parts like pumps and connectors. If generic imported IV consumables face duties, ICU Medical's products gain a cost advantage in a market where purchases are high volume and recurring. A key question for them, though, might be capacity. Do they have enough existing U.S. capacity to absorb market share if large foreign suppliers are impacted? If not, they might need to reinvest some gains into expansion, but they could still point towards longer-term growth.
Okay, moving to the industrial side. The second category of potential winners, the U.S. automation and machine tool ecosystem.
Right. These are the companies that build the tools for modern factories. This action on imported robotics and machinery looks set to steer corporate spending capital expenditures, or CapEx, towards domestic providers.
So this really changes the math for big long-term investments. How does a tariff on, say, a complex machine tool affect that buying decision?
Well, it comes down to the total cost over the life of the machine and the return on that investment. These machines, like a big laser cutter or an automated press, they cost millions and are expected to last years, even decades. If an imported machine from, say, Germany or Japan suddenly has a 20% duty tacked on, the domestic alternative becomes much more attractive financially, even if the technology is pretty similar. It almost forces buyers to look domestic for these major capital assets.
So who stands to gain from this CapEx redirection? Let's look at ORK, Rockwell Automation.
Rockwell, Rockaway, seems like a core beneficiary. They provide the automation systems, the control systems, the software that runs smart factories. They don't just sell the hardware, they sell the integration. So when companies are pushed to buy U.S.-made machinery, they also need the systems to control and connect it all. That's Rockwell's sweet spot. They could become key integrators for this more localized industrial base.
Okay. How about DOV, Dover?
Dover. DOVV makes a wide range of specialized industrial products and components used across different sectors. Many of these parts go into the automated systems that might replace imported machinery. Think fluid handling, specialized motors, components for advanced manufacturing processes. If U.S. factories are being built or upgraded using domestic equipment, Dover's U.S.-based component supply could see increased demand. They're like a key parts supplier for this potential manufacturing renewal.
And the last one here, PKH, Parker Hannifin.
Parker Hannifin, PPH, is a big player in motion and control technologies, hydraulics, pneumatics, filtration systems. Any increase in building or upgrading U.S. factories with U.S. tools means more demand for their core products. They supply the essential systems that make these machines work. This isn't just a short-term bump. It could mean increased demand tied to this localization trend for quite some time.
All right. And the third category of potential winners, U.S.-made medical devices and surgical systems.
Yes, this covers the higher value end of medtech. Complex equipment like pumps, diagnostic tools, prosthetics, even robotic surgery systems. The policy environment seems to favor companies that do their final assembly or make significant components here in the U.S.
Why is that domestic production especially helpful for these complex, high-end devices compared to, say, simpler consumables?
Well, complexity often means more regulatory hurdles and longer sales cycles. For a basic item like a syringe, the tariff is mainly a cost issue. But for something sophisticated, like a robotic surgery system, if your competitor imports a major part from overseas, they don't just face the tariff cost. They could face delays or complications if rules change unexpectedly. Domestic production provides a buffer against that uncertainty, not just the cost. That stability is really valuable when negotiating big, multi-year hospital contracts.
Makes sense. Let's look at some companies. ISRG, Intuitive Surgical, known for their robotic systems.
Intuitive Surgical, ISRG, is a good example. They do a lot of their manufacturing and assembly for the Da Vinci systems domestically. These are high-value systems. By keeping production largely in the U.S., they avoid duties that competing systems or key imported components for those systems might face. It gives them a cost and supply chain stability advantage that's tough for global competitors to replicate quickly.
Okay. Next, ZBBH, Zimmer Biomet, in musculoskeletal health.
Zimmer Biomet, ZBH, focuses on orthopedics implants, instruments. They often produce critical, complex items domestically, partly due to regulations around implantable devices anyway. Now, that localization gives them an economic edge, too. They avoid potential duties on precision-made joints or complex surgical tools that competitors might import. This could make them seem like a more stable supplier to major U.S. hospital systems.
And finally, BAX Baxter.
Baxter, BAX, has a broad portfolio of hospital solutions, advanced devices. While they operate globally, they do have substantial U.S. manufacturing for certain specialized devices and hospital infrastructure components. Their ability to leverage a localized supply chain for these specific products could give them a pricing and supply stability advantage compared to competitors who rely more heavily on imports, especially in critical care and specialized device areas.
All right, so that covers the potential winners. Now, let's flip the coin. Which companies might feel the cost pressures from these potential tariffs?
Yes. For every company potentially gaining an advantage, there's likely someone facing increased costs. We see three main groups here that could face headwinds.
Okay, first up, import-heavy medical distributors.
This group seems like they'd feel the impact almost immediately. Their business model often involves handling huge volumes on relatively thin margins. If new duties are slapped on a wide range of imported consumables and devices, which make up a big chunk of their inventory, their cost of goods sold, or COGS goes up right away.
Right. And if their costs go up, can't they just pass that increase along to their customers, the hospitals?
That's the challenge, the squeeze. Distributors often operate on very tight margins, sometimes just, 1% to 3% net. They sell to hospitals, many of which face fixed reimbursement rates from Medicare, Medicaid, and insurers. Plus, distributors often have long-term contracts with hospitals that aren't easy to change quickly. So if they absorb the tariff costs, those thin margins get squeezed even further. It can even make selling certain products unprofitable. How much of the cost they can actually pass through is key, and initially it might be difficult.
So who are the major players facing this potential squeeze? Let's start with TTAH, Cardinal Health.
Cardinal Health TTH is a huge distributor. They handle massive amounts of imported goods, both basic consumables and more complex devices. Their exposure seems quite high if broad tariffs on imported medtech are implemented. They'd likely need to quickly figure out how to renegotiate contracts, push U.S.-made alternatives where possible, or absorb the cost, which could impact their earnings pretty directly.
Next is ABC, Cencora, which used to be AmerisourceBergen.
Cencora, ABC, is also heavily involved in distribution across healthcare. While they have a big pharmaceutical business, their medical distribution side faces the same potential vulnerability. Any broad tariff on consumables means their inventory costs rise, putting pressure on their ability to deliver these goods profitably to hospitals and other providers.
And MCK McKesson.
McKesson, MCK, is another giant in supply chain management and distribution. Given their scale, even a small percentage duty increase on imports adds up to a very large dollar amount they need to manage. They'd have a strong incentive to find non-tariff sources quickly, but in the short term, they'd have to deal with those immediate inventory cost increases. This could force adjustments to their inventory strategy and potentially impact their balance sheet.
Okay, so distributors feel the direct hit on COGS. Who else is feeling the pressure? The next category is providers sensitive to equipment consumables inflation.
Yes, this means the end users themselves. The hospitals, the surgical centers, outpatient clinics. They're the ones ultimately buying the goods that might become more expensive, whether it's big equipment or everyday supplies.
And this hits their operations directly.
It looks like a potential double whammy for them. First, higher capital costs. If they plan to buy new imaging machines or hospital beds and those are imported, they just got more expensive. That might slow down needed upgrades. Second, increased costs for routine supplies, bandages, syringes, you name it. Since a lot of their revenue comes from fixed payment rates, especially from government payers, they can't easily raise their prices to cover these higher input costs. This puts ongoing pressure on their operating budgets and profitability.
Which large hospital systems might face this? The materials mention HCA Healthcare.
HCA, being one of the largest for-profit hospital operators, runs hundreds of facilities. They have huge purchasing needs, both for ongoing supplies and major equipment investments. An increase in costs across the board, multiplied by their scale, would be substantial. They'd likely need to manage this by either cutting spending elsewhere or trying to secure contracts with domestic suppliers very quickly.
Also mentioned is UHS, Universal Health Services.
UHS operates both acute care hospitals and behavioral health facilities. They depend on a steady flow of general medical supplies, but also specialized equipment for their different patient populations. If costs rise for things like behavioral health monitoring tools or standard hospital consumables due to tariffs, it could directly impact their margins across their diverse operations.
And CYH, Community Health Systems.
Community Health Systems, CYH, often operates hospitals in smaller markets where margins might already be tighter than in big cities. For these providers, tariffs on necessary inputs act like a direct tax on their operations. While they might be able to pass some costs on through commercial insurance contracts, the large portion of patients covered by government programs means much of the tariff burden could fall straight to their bottom line unless they can find significant internal savings.
Okay, and the final category facing potential headwinds, global med techs with complex import footprints.
Right, these are the large multinational med tech companies. Many rely heavily on manufacturing facilities outside the U.S. or have really intricate supply chains where components are made and assembled across different countries.
And their challenge is more complex than just the immediate cost increase.
Yes, it seems to be twofold. First, they face the immediate pain of higher landed costs. If they're importing finished products or major components into the U.S., they get hit with duties. But second, and perhaps more difficult, is the operational challenge. They might have spent years, even decades, optimizing these global manufacturing networks for efficiency. Trying to quickly change that, re-engineer supply chains, move production, is a massive undertaking. It's slow, costly, and complex.
And that re-engineering requires significant investment, right? It's not just flipping a switch.
Absolutely. For medical devices, especially complex ones, moving manufacturing isn't simple. You need things like FDA validation for new sites, rigorous quality control, retraining workers, relocating specialized equipment. This whole process can take years, maybe 3, maybe 5, and costs a lot up front. These duties could force them to start down that expensive path just to stay competitive in the U.S. market, even if the policy details are still evolving.
Let's look at the companies mentioned here. First, ABT, Abbott.
Abbott, ABT, is very diversified, with significant global operations. They make diagnostics, cardiovascular devices, and much more. Their reliance on international production for many products brought into the U.S. market makes them potentially vulnerable to these duties. They'd likely be doing a fast assessment of which product lines are most exposed and figuring out if and how quickly they could shift production or assembly to mitigate the impact.
Then there's BSX, Boston Scientific.
Boston Scientific, BSX, also makes a wide range of devices and components, often using manufacturing sites outside the U.S. to manage costs. These new duties could force a tough calculation for them. Does the cost saving from overseas production still outweigh the new tariff cost, plus the hassle? If not, they face potentially expensive projects to bring production closer to the U.S. or risk losing ground to competitors with more domestic operations.
And lastly, MDT, Medtronic, a real global giant.
MDT is indeed huge and relies heavily on non-U.S. production for many high-volume devices and components. For a company of their scale, even seemingly small duties can add up very quickly across their vast product portfolio. This likely demands a really careful multi-year review of their entire manufacturing strategy for the U.S. market. Their ability to successfully manage a potentially massive localization effort could be key to their long-term performance, and that likely means higher capital spending in the near term.
Okay, so we've looked at both sides of this potential policy action. We've mapped out the three groups that might gain an advantage from having strong domestic operations: U.S. PPE and IV suppliers, domestic automation and machine tool makers, and U.S.-based surgical system companies. Thinking about names like MMM, Surikay, and ISRG. And on the flip side, we've detailed the three groups facing cost pressures due to import reliance: the big distributors, cost-sensitive providers like hospitals, and the global medtech firms with complex international supply chains. Companies like CAH, AHCA, and ABT fall into this camp. For you, the listener, hopefully this analysis provides some clarity on how these high-level government actions could translate into competitive advantages and disadvantages within these key sectors.
And building on that, there's maybe one specific thing for you to watch closely, especially if you're tracking those companies facing headwinds, like the big global medtechs, Medtronic or Abbott, for instance. Look beyond just their immediate revenue figures. Pay close attention to their capital expenditure plans and budgets over the next several quarters. How quickly and by how much does their planned CapEx spending increase? That increase is, in a very real sense, the cost of localization. It tells you how much impact these potential duties are having and how seriously these companies are taking the need to adjust their manufacturing footprint for the U.S. market. It's a tangible financial indicator of their exposure.
Okay, that's a very practical point to track. And just a reminder, please note that the information presented here is purely the opinion of the author and is based entirely on the materials provided. This is not financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always conduct your own thorough research. Thank you for joining us on Breaking News to Trading Moves.